My name is Mike Morgan. Thank you so much for taking time to study God's Word with us. We are currently in a series of sermons from the book of Genesis. The title of our message this morning is The Origin of Judgment is Sin. Our text, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is a familiar chapter to all of us. Yet there are some important lessons in this chapter that will help us in our everyday lives. The word Genesis means origin or beginning. So far, we have seen the origin of creation, Genesis chapter 1. The origin of sin through disobedience, Genesis chapter 3. The origin of acceptable and unacceptable worship and the establishment of public worship, Genesis chapter 4. The origin of polygamy and the further breakdown of the home, Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapters 6 and 7, we have the first execution of judgment on a widespread scale. Genesis 6 can be summarized under three headings. First, God's patience. Through the preaching of Noah, God was giving people the opportunity to stop and listen and turn from their evil ways. Second, God's persistence. In Noah's day, God said sin must either be repented of or judged. There was no middle ground. The same is true today. And third, God's preservation. God will preserve all those who obey His commands. In this chapter, the seed lines of Cain, the ungodly, and Seth, the godly, come together. When searching for a wife, the righteous set aside God's pattern for marriage and focus on the external. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful. Genesis 6, verse 2. The physical triumphed over reason. The sensual overruled the commandments of God. What should one look for in a marriage partner? A pretty woman? A good-looking guy? Or the principles of Christianity displayed in the life of the one that is being considered as a marriage partner? Solomon said, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Proverbs 31, verse 30. The sons of God took wives, plural, for themselves of all whom they chose. This does not mean that all of them had multiple wives, but it does show the development of polygamy. They were following in the footsteps of Lamech. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." Here we have the first mention of the spirit in connection with redemption. The word spirit means to convince or convert. The spirit's striving was to convince, persuade, exhort, and warn through the preaching of Noah. Look at Jude verses 14 and 15. Jude verses 14 and 15. "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." Enoch prophesied of judgment. Could it be that he prophesied about this very judgment that was about to take place in Genesis? God's message through Noah and Enoch was designed to help man see the error of his way. It was up to the people to listen and accept it. And when they failed to obey, there was nothing left but the wrath of God. Any impression that God will ignore man's ability to choose his own path is to misunderstand the whole scheme of redemption. God said, "Yet his days shall be 120 years." It would take time for Noah to build the ark. God set a time limit of 120 years for the continued holding back of his judgment. At the end of that time, only the righteous would escape. Verse 4 says, "There were giants on the earth in those days." The word giant in the Hebrew means fallen. The giants are men that inspire fear, as indicated in Numbers 13, verse 33. "There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." These outlaws were known for attacking their fellow man. These men of renown desired to make a name for themselves. Our world places a premium on making a name for ourselves. Even preachers think that they have to make a name for themselves. The Christian who is serving God does not need to make a name for themselves. They just need to be called by the name of Christ and do all things in His name. In this relationship of good and evil, which side came out on top? Did the sinner stop practicing wickedness because of the influence of good? No, evil companionship corrupted good morals. Yet today we think that we can associate with the ungodly and remain faithful to the Lord. Solomon said, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched?" Proverbs 6, verses 27 and 28. Wickedness had multiplied throughout the earth to the point that every intent of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Man's every imagination in his thought was always on evil. In other words, men did more than just think evil thoughts. The evil that filled their minds continually was forming plans to do evil things. It was a plotting, scheming brand of thinking that gave a calculated intensity to the wicked deeds that were done. Sin had produced a dangerous and threatening environment on the earth. Here's man just cruising along, disregarding God's word, forsaking true worship, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, believing in their heart that God does not see what's going on. Does that not describe our society today? But the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Does the Lord see the wickedness of man today? Well, the majority would say no. God's Word says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth." Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14. "You have set our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your countenance." Psalms 90, verse 8. "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give an account." Hebrews 4, 13. God knows what's going on. My friends, there is no way that this nation can continue to disobey God's word without the stench of sin reaching the nostrils of God and crying out for judgment. "And the Lord was sorry," the King James Version uses the word, "repented, that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart." He did not repent in the sense of turning away from evil. It denotes a change of action. God was sorry over the fact that those who he created in his image had chosen sin over service to the master. As loving parents are brought to grief and experience sorrow over what they made when their child goes into sin, so God feels these emotions over what he made. God said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them." Have you ever heard anybody say, "My sin only affects me"? Notice, all of creation suffers because of man's sin. What was God's response to the wages of sin in Noah's day? Death by drowning. Judgment does not come about because God is bigger than we are. In fact, the Bible speaks of judgment as God's strange or unusual act. Isaiah 21, verse 28. The work of bringing total destruction upon Israel was contrary to God's gentle, kind nature and to the usual way of dealing with his people. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In spite of God's long-suffering and willingness for all men to be saved, why will the majority of people enter eternity through the wide gate that leads to destruction? Well, the answer is sin. Willful sin brought God's judgment on Cain, and willful sin will be the reason that judgment comes upon mankind. Paul said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." If man refuses to repent, the only thing left is God's strange or unusual act of judgment. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the first time we find the word grace or favor in the Bible. The one righteous man on earth, Noah and his family, were saved by God. This shows that God examined the character of every person on earth before he pronounced it universally corrupt. From this time forward, the righteous will never perish with the wicked. Noah was just in that he lived in accord with God's will. He was perfect or upright in that he was solely dedicated to God's service. The inspired record also says he walked with God, which means he did all that God commanded him to do. Noah was not perfect. He was not sinless, yet he is called a perfect man. He was considered righteous because he took advantage of the provisions that God had made in relation to sin. When Noah heard God's warning, he, being motivated by a proper respect for the Creator's power, set out to prepare an ark as God had instructed. This is in sharp contrast to those around him. They refused to repent and obey God despite Noah's preaching all the years the ark was being built. God made a covenant with Noah. It was an arrangement whereby God would protect Noah and his family. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 18 through 21. Genesis chapter 6, verses 18 through 21. "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your son, your wife, and your son's wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Noah had to meet the conditions of the covenant to receive the reward. Genesis 7, verses 2 through 5. Then God used the waters of the flood to save them from that wicked world. They emerged in a world purified of all evil. Even so, scriptural baptism delivers us from the condemnation of sin. Baptism serves as a grave for the old man of sin, which God resurrects us to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. The waters of baptism separates us from our former sins and makes us new creatures in Christ. Acts 2, verse 38. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The water would not have saved Noah if he had not acted in accord with God's will. Neither can we be saved unless we act in accord with God's will. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. Receiving the love of God is contingent upon our keeping His commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." The flood lasted 1 year and 10 days. Noah's first act on the renewed earth was to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It serves as a reminder of man's reliance upon God. Following the sacrifice, God made a further covenant with Noah. He said he would never destroy the earth with water. He placed the rainbow in the sky as a perpetual reminder of this promise. God did this because he was pleased with Noah's sacrifice. By the way, was sin eradicated from the earth? No. Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Genesis 9, verses 20 and 21. Sin will continue to trip up mankind until Jesus Christ comes to earth, lives a sinless life, and gives His life a ransom for many. Let me suggest 5 lessons that we can learn from Genesis chapter 6. First, the home is the basic unit of society, and motherhood, especially godly motherhood, is vital to the development of the home. Notice the text does not say that the daughters of God married the sons of men. Sin entered into the world through woman, Eve. Adam was led into ruin by Eve, although he went into it with his eyes wide open. In the very beginning, we have man being influenced by woman. When the woman fell, the man fell. Whenever the woman became corrupt, it lowered the standard of men. Women, far more than any one factor, determines the character and stability of the home. This is not to exclude or replace the responsibilities of the father, but they are outworking. Whenever there is a corruption of motherhood, we are paving the way for the destruction of a society. when godly motherhood is taken away from society, there is not sufficient power in preaching to change the course that has taken place. Let me prove that to you. Noah was preaching with all of his heart against the evil and corruption that was taking place. But in spite of all the preaching that he did, the corruption of godly motherhood offset it until there was just one thing left for God to do. Even the church is affected because of the deterioration of the home. When Christianity is not practiced in the home, then preaching has very little effect on the lives of those that listen. My friends, it ought to be truly disturbing when you look at what's taking place in our society concerning women. When the time comes that there are not enough godly women in this country to teach principles of godliness and righteousness to their children, society will be destroyed because the home is destroyed. On the other side, the strongest power and influence for good in this world is a godly woman. When God needed a leader, He always sent them to godly women for their training, their example, and for the dedication of faith which was needed for such responsibilities. Oh, how important it is when considering someone to marry to select someone that will help you grow spiritually and help you make it to heaven. Here's a second lesson. What got man in trouble with God? The thoughts of his heart. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that sin began with Eve's attitude of heart, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All that started on the inside. The Bible teaches that what we think about is what we become. Solomon said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." When people allow their minds to be filled with all kinds of evil thought, that is the way that they are going to live. When the rottenness and the filth on TV is constantly fed into our minds, what do we think is going to happen? The result will be exactly what we are reading about here. Solomon said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Here's a third lesson we can learn from Genesis chapter 6. Noah had a tough go of it. What if you and your family were the only ones on earth who served God? If there was ever a case for a man to go along to get along, it was Noah. But in the face of wickedness, Noah did not give up or give an inch. He did not let the world dictate the way he and his family lived. No matter how bad things are, we must never compromise godly principles and live like the world. Lesson number 4. In verse 22, it says, "Thus Noah did." Consider the magnitude of the task, but that did not stop Noah. "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Here we have grace and obedience according to all God commanded. Noah is a solemn reminder and encouragement to do right, even when we must stand alone. It is better to do right with God than to stand with a world that is corrupt. And finally, companionship and close relationships are based upon affection. Noah walked by faith. Noah preached righteousness when righteousness was unpopular. Noah walked with God while others walked away from God. He did not think less of sin because it was practiced on a wide scale. Eternal truth was more important than surface appearances. Noah knew that evil was evil, and it could not be followed with God's approval. And Noah wanted the approval of God, not the approval of man. Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. It is our prayer that this lesson has been encouraging, spiritually uplifting, and most of all, according to God's Word.